Scouting out of the blue corner. He gives you your football meat and potatoes style and is the undisputed king of detailed player analysis. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you Steve the Scout.
Hey guys, this is Steve the Scout. I am the host of the Pro Football Scouting Show, joined by my co-host, Austin Smith. The show is brought to you by PigskinNut.com. PigskinNut is the football news that you've been missing, where we give you coverage on all 32 NFL teams, every major college football conference, NFL scouting reports, college scouting reports, fantasy football, and PigskinNut radio. For more information, check us out on social media at PigskinNut and also at the Google Play Store. If you just go there and type in Pigskin Nut Radio, you can download our app and hear good quality, quality football coverage 24 hours, 7 days a week from guys that know, understand, and study the game. So, today we're going to be talking about JJ Arcega-Whiteside, out of Stanford. I'm really excited, to break this guy down. You're ready to give your scouting report on this guy, Austin?
Oh, absolutely. Arcega-Whiteside's one of early in the process, before the Cowboys had made many moves in the offseason, Arcega-Whiteside is one I kind of had a circle around, because there's a number of aspects to his game that reminded me of some of Des Bryant's better traits here in Dallas. And I thought there were other aspects that he was better than Dez in, as far as, his body control, his ability to get in and out of his breaks quickly. I thought that this could have been an upgrade for us. So I'm a big fan of Arcega-Whiteside. I've come off my Cowboys, being interested in him a little bit because for other reasons, but I'll say this much. He's one of my favorite receivers in this draft.
Yep. Mine too. And, we talked, one of our last episodes that, a guy like DK Metcalf, I think he's been probably one of the more polarizing, harder to evaluate, wide receivers, because, he just has great speed, great size. We just don't get to see him utilize it in all the ways that we want to. And when I look at JJ Arcega-Whiteside, I think when you take his size into consideration, he's to me one of the most complete wide receivers in this class, and I think one of the very best. He's definitely moving his way towards the very top of my board of wide receivers. But let's look at him. He's 6'2", somewhere between 6'2" and 6'3", between 220, 225. And here's what I'll tell you. First of all, You gotta like the person. You hear the combine interviews. You're typically a smart guy if you go to Stanford, but you look at a lot of the extracurricular stuff. That he's done. He actually interned for Condoleezza Rice. He just seems like he has a very good head on his shoulders as a person. As a scout, that's one thing you're always looking for. The Arcega-Whitesides, the Devin Whites, you gotta love the makeup of some of these young men. But you look at him as a football player. Here's a guy that's 6'2", 6'3", 225, and he utilizes all of it. I will say at this point, I have not seen any wide receiver in this draft who I would feel more comfortable throwing to the red zone than Arcega-Whiteside. When you want to look at contested catch strength, and also the body position you have to be in for contested catches, he's great. To me, I see very little chance that he's not going to carve out a niche for himself in the NFL. One of the things that he also does really well, something we don't talk about a lot with wide receivers, but if you study Antonio Brown, DeAndre Hopkins, it's really getting that last second separation at the catch point. And that's something, and I know that kind of is body positioning, but you know, it's an element of body positioning that he does really, really well. When the ball's coming down his way, you want a guy that has ability to adjust to a poorly thrown ball and win with his body and leverage, and he's going to utilize it. Arcega Whiteside, you know, is that guy. Now, you know, I don't think he ran a 40 time at the combine, so we don't know exactly what his, you know, and correct me if I'm wrong, Austin, did he run a 40 at the combine?
No, but at his pro day, he ran scouts varied in the 4.4s, 4.5s. The official times that were released were a 4.48 and a 4.49.
Okay. So, you know, you look at that, that's still really, really good speed. You know, you win
his size, absolutely.
Yeah, especially at 6'3", you don't see a lot of 6'3" wide receivers, you know, running 4.49. I know there are some that do it, but you know, you look at, you know, a Julio Jones, he ran in the low 4.4s. So I mean, look, this is a guy that's big and he's fast, but he does. You know, a lot of times, you know, when we talk about, you know, we talk about these big wide receivers, and sometimes we think that their limitations as being just a guy that can box guys out and catch and make those contested catches, but sometimes they don't offer a lot outside of that, and this is not the case with this guy. This guy, to me, is a very clean route runner, runs the entire route tree very well, and When you look at a guy being NFL ready, you want to look at a wide receiver that can manipulate defenders. When Whiteside gets off the line of scrimmage, he has such a nice release, and you see that he's a big guy that also gets separation. Now he has a great inside release, but to me, what really impresses me is how he gets that inside release. You know, he has. You know, he does it with great feet, and he makes the defender want to defend really the outside part of the field, only for him to come back inside very quickly. That's something that he does well. So again, you know, he's not just a big body guy or a contested catch guy. He's a complete football player. He's a route runner and a technician and a guy that really wins a lot. You know, at the snap of the football. So, you know, also what he does in terms of, again, adjusting to those poorly thrown balls. I've mentioned that. He's just someone that, you know, he makes use of his shoulders and his entire body and just has a lot of tools that really helps him manipulate guys at the line of scrimmage. You know, again, he has that strong hands and he's got good play strength. So, you know, he's going to win within that first 5 yards as well. And he's also someone that I see is just has a knack for, I guess you could say, leveraging space as well. You know, you start, you know, you try to defend him. You know, he's a guy that can get you confused. And, you know, I don't see a lot of guys in this draft, you know, do that. And then, you know, not only that, he's got really good start and stop ability. So, you know, he's a guy, you know, you mentioned he has that 4.49 speed. But you know, he's a guy that can start and stop as well. When we talk about manipulating defenders, there's a lot of times where, you know, it looked like he was going to go to beat the guy deep, only to come back on a curl route. And you saw his start and stop ability, his ability to sink his hips, all that stuff is impressive. And you know, you turn on the tape of him against Notre Dame, you see a big guy that can also line up over the middle. At this point, you know, taking his size into consideration, to me, this is the most complete wide receiver in the draft to me at this point. When you want to talk about just doing a lot of the small things well, you know, I see him. I don't see a guy that I'm really worried about him being able to produce at the next level. I think he's not only that, he could be a great volume catcher as well. If you're going to ask me, you know, Which wide receiver do I want to throw to in the red zone of any guy in this class? You know, Hakeem Butler, you know, DK Metcalf. I want to throw to those guys in the red zone. But with what I've seen from Arcega Whiteside on tape, he might be the guy I'm most comfortable throwing to. So in terms of value for him, I definitely see him, at the maybe, round pick 20 would be a good spot for me. I think if he gets into the second round, you're getting a great value. But I see really a late first round pick, but it wouldn't surprise me either, although I give him a late round grade. It wouldn't surprise me if he ends up having, top 10, top 15 value as a player in this league. So we'll take a quick break. We come back, Austin, you're going to let us know what you think of J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, wide receiver from Stanford. And we're back, Austin. What's your take on this guy? How does J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, what's your scouting report on this fella?
I think you hit the nail on the head with a couple of things. First off, in the red zone, and like I say, with me being a Cowboy fan, that was one of our biggest weaknesses last year. After losing Dez Bryant and Jason Witten both in the same offseason, it was all of a sudden we just weren't getting, any results in the passing game in the red zone, it seemed like. So, he's very advanced in a lot of traits that most college wide receivers don't enter the NFL with. He's got a lot of advanced traits, and some of them that he's just so savvy with that you'd think that this was guy would be in his upper 20s as far as maturity level is, as far as the game is concerned. You look at the way he combines at the wide receiver position, strength with speed, and he gets the most out of it. Because let's be honest, 225 pounds is a pretty good size receiver. A 4.48, 4.49, 40 is a pretty fast wide receiver as well. But he gets the most out of them. He gets into especially in the red zone. He gets into DB's bodies so quick to put them off balance in order to position himself. And it's like, bud, once he's got position, this is a guy that's strong enough to go through the contact and up to go get the football. I mean, there's been times you see him almost like a post, or a power forward in the post calling for the basketball. He's got the guy on his hip. And he's got his hips back, keeping distance between the defender and the ball. And it's like, it reminds me of, Carl Malone down there calling for the ball in the low post. He's in the end zone like, okay, right here, bud. So he combines those skills so well in the red zone and in some of his routes where he's able to, to utilize both. One thing that I think stands out to me, and this is something that not a lot of receivers come up with, is his ability, and I call it pacing the DB. And this is a deep ball trait. This is when that ball is in the air, and you picked it up quick, and you can see that this quarterback's put air underneath it, and he wants you to run to it. Guys, how many times do we give the quarterback credit for hitting a wide receiver on a deep route in stride, and you go back and you watch the route and the receiver slowed up at a very early in the route in order to time it properly to get to that football and keep the defensive back on his backside.
And it's that separation at the catch point again, too.
Absolutely is. And you're right. Hopkins is extremely good at it, at pacing the DB, knowing, okay, this ball is a deep ball, but it's underthrown. I can race to it and get in a jump ball with this guy, but instead, I'm still 20 yards from making this catch. We're going to motor it down a little bit, and I'm going to keep that DB right on my backside to make sure that when I catch it, my arms are extended to the opposite side of where the DB is, and there is no way that he's touching that football without going through me. It's something that not a lot of people, they admire it a lot. And like I said, a lot of times a quarterback gets credit for it. Oh, he hit that receiver in stride. No, the receiver put the right strides in place to make the timing look perfect. And it's something that I see with Arcega Whiteside. I don't know if I could name many wide receivers in this class, especially in the top 10, that do it. Him as a deep ball threat, as a red zone threat, he's going to be able to do those things at the NFL level with these, I think. Now, as far as the route tree goes, I do see a guy that, for being 225 pounds, shifts his weight pretty darn well. He gets in and out of his breaks. He's very savvy in his footwork and in his body control in order to get in and out of those breaks with the minimal amount of steps possible. And that's something that, there's a lot of these receivers that can get up and go, and it takes them time to motor down and then motor back up out of a break. Even some of the more slender and smaller receivers. But this is a guy who understands his size. He understands his ability to body out a defensive back. Therefore, he knows that as long as he has position on the defensive back, then he's going to make the play. And that position comes from the footwork and the body, the body control. So another trait that he's just very advanced in that you don't see a lot of wide receivers doing coming out of college. I'm very impressed with him on a number of levels. And I'll say this much too. You're not necessarily going to see him always get the greatest separation. You're not. The comeback route is one of the most difficult routes to not only throw accurately, but gain separation out of, because it's one that's run somewhere near the numbers. Sometimes you're inside, sometimes you're outside of it, but there's just such a small window to be able to complete it. And that DB or that receiver has to gain some initial separation in order to keep a DB from jumping it. This is a guy who, the path he takes in his routes, we talk about a guy running a comeback route. And, it's funny because at a younger age you hear, I want you to do this and then come back at a 45-degree angle. This is a guy who understands proper angles based on the coverage that's on him and based on his own skill set and the ball the second he sees it out of the hand. So once again, it's very similar to pacing a DB, but doing it in and out of your breaks and understanding that, okay, this is what's going to give me the best opportunity to get my hands cleanly on the football. Now, I will say this. If there was one thing that did shock me about his pro day, I wouldn't have thought a 34-inch vertical jump out of him. For somebody who wins as many 50-50 balls as he does, that kind of caught me by surprise a little bit. I kind of was expecting a upper 30s, maybe even 40-inch vertical jump out of the guy. So his jumps weren't overly impressive. I do worry that, at Stanford, I do worry about, their route tree is more advanced than some, but still not to the NFL level. I mean, there's still going to be some routes that he learns at the NFL level that he's never come across. But, whether it's a shorter route, the slants with his release and his ability to body guy, to keep a defensive back on his backside, a hitch route, the ability to, once again, get a clean release, but also get your body into the defender. It's a substitute for that 4.3 speed that we see a guy like Marquise Brown have and Campbell have. And some of these receivers that soak up a cushion so quick that it forces a defensive back to retreat and turn his hips. Well, with a guy like Arcega Whiteside, he doesn't have necessarily that immediate explosion to soak up the cushion. What he does instead is he stems his route differently. Instead,
he wins with manipulation.
I'm going to come right at your body. A 6'2", 225-pound wide receiver, obviously bigger than most DBs, he's definitely heavier than any corner that's going to guard him, is coming right at the center of me. I mean, you know, your natural instincts kick in. You're getting ready to get run over unless you alter your path. You turn your hips. You get out of the guy's way. Well, by the time you're opening up to allow yourself to keep from getting in a collision with this guy, boom, he's broke down. And now all of a sudden, my feet aren't in position to be able to break on his route. It's that's the thing. It's a very veteran move, that you see from some receivers that are bigger bodied. I know I'm not going to be able to threaten you deep, but if I threaten to go through you, it's going to get some of the same reactions from the DB that I'm looking for. So it's something that Whiteside does very, very well. I see him as a better than the average receiver blocker. Stanford obviously has always been a heavy blocking system. There are receivers, in the NFL who carve out that niche, and it keeps them, even if they're not at the top, two receiver on the team, it gains them more snaps. I think Arcega-Whiteside's a guy that's, given a little tweak to some of his techniques, I think is a guy that's going to have that ability to be on the field in any set because of, his ability to, just the size and that ability to maybe have a little bit of an impact as a blocker, and the ball skills. I'm not going to say, that he's got a little bit of smaller hands, but I don't see him fight the football very often. I see a guy who catches the ball very cleanly.
Catch strength. You got it.
He's got soft hands. We don't see a lot of double catches, and he tracks the ball well. That's another thing is when you see it, I've always told people, you catch a football with your eyes, your hands are merely the tools.
I think he tracks the ball about as well as anyone in this class.
He's definitely toward the top of the class for me in that effort. I think my favorite personally, David Seals from West Virginia, there's a lot of flaws to his game, but Seals, I tell you, he reminds me of Jordy Nelson when the ball is in the air, as far as just understanding the second you see the ball thrown, okay, this is where, it's headed. This is how I should time it. I think Sills, that he's advanced in that
like
area.
Like an Adam Thielen type maybe too?
See, very similar, yes. As a guy and those are guys that do. They just, their eyes are so good. And, it's something, all the years that I played wide receiver, let me tell you, I wasn't running 4.4s. I'm a hair over 6 feet tall. I wasn't, necessarily as intimidating as a guy like Metcalf. But I tell you, that was one of the things I prided myself on, was the ability to get my eyes on a football and just be able to track it, be able to time it, and so well. And that's something that, like I say, we mentioned Seals, but also Arcega-Whiteside, just absolutely outstanding in that aspect. And, I don't think it's a stretch. Right now, he is my sixth best receiver in this draft. I have nearly an identical grade on him and Deebo Samuel. So technically, you could make an argument for his fifth. But I don't have much argument saying you're darn right. He's the most complete receiver in this draft. In my top 10, I mean, there's no doubt about it. He's the most complete. So this is a guy that a lot of teams are going to value, whereas not everybody's necessarily going to value a Metcalf. Maybe they need a better route runner, a more reliable target. Maybe not everybody's going to target a Marquise Brown, a guy that's game is based purely on his speed and acceleration and explosion. Maybe not everybody's going to target a guy like A.J. Brown, a bigger slot option, or Deebo Samuel, who's a little bit similar. This is a guy that if you're looking for a deep threat, if you're looking for a possession threat, if you're looking for a guy who can win on the shorter routes with his get off, a guy that can win with his play strength on the jump balls, I mean, there's just not a lot of flaws to his game. Now, maybe there's not one trait that you just say, oh, my goodness, he's elite in. I could make the case that his point, his ability at the catch, like you said, to manipulate, to track the ball, to catch the ball with those soft hands, to play through the contact with his size. I could make a case that that's an elite trait. But outside of that, there's just a lot of other things that he does well that give him the ability to stay on the field in a variety of situations. So, you know, that late first round area, yeah, I definitely see teams considering him in that area. You know, one team I want to talk about, the Philadelphia Eagles, you know, loved Jordan Matthews for years for being somewhat of a similar player, although maybe not quite as much the deep threat and the red zone threat, but being very similar as a possession guy with size. I look at the Indianapolis Colts, you know, who, you know, I'm wearing a Reggie Wayne jersey, you know, that, you know, Reggie Wayne was a very, very good possession receiver that also had the ability to win deep. You know, that could be a role that he fills for a team like Indianapolis, who's got, you know, a bigger possession only guy in Funchess and a very speedy T.Y. Hilton. I look at a team like the Kansas City Chiefs, who, you know, and I know they've got bigger needs than wide receiver, but my goodness, putting a guy like, I mean, you know, Travis Kelce, when they get into the red zone, they don't necessarily have a ton of options. Tyreek Hill, you know, his speed in the red zone, someone gets neutralized because there's no threat of you going deep. The deep is only 20 yards away. So, you know, that's another option. And the New England Patriots, have got to get some size at the receiver position. They have got a group of smaller receivers there. Hogan has not been re-signed. Cordarrelle Patterson's off to another team. Obviously, we don't know what the Josh Gordon situation is going to end up in. I would not hold my breath if I were the New England Patriots. I think Cleveland Browns fans can attest to that. And now with Rob Gronkowski gone, I mean, they just lost their biggest target. So the New England Patriots late is another one that I could see them, you know, going after. And one more thing before I turn it back over to you, and this is something I meant to hit on earlier, another advanced receiver trait. I don't see a ton of wide receivers at the college level run back shoulder fades as well as J.J. Arcega-Whiteside is. And let me tell you something. If I'm a quarterback and I've got this guy and I've seen that ability on tape and I know this guy's coming in, I tell you what, that's one of the first things I'm saying, hey, bud, you and me, after practice, we're working on that. Because a back shoulder fade can be absolutely deadly with a quarterback that knows how to throw it and a receiver that knows how to time it. I mean, just without a doubt in my mind, you know, if that's the tool that you've got in your arsenal as a wide receiver, it is something that that you can make a career on. In my personal opinion, you know, if you've got the ability to do that. So, you know, just one other thing, you know, for J.J. Arcega-Whiteside that makes him an attractive option. And like I say, the I've got him with a second round grade, but the first round is not, you know, is not out of the question for him. This is a guy that can do a lot of things, and it's going to attract that much more attention from teams.
Yep. And I think ultimately, you know, when you want to look at what the guys that are going to be the wide receiver steals of this draft, I think he's very undervalued. I could easily see him being the best player. And, you know, at this point, you know, comparing him with a guy like DK Metcalf, the only trait of DK Metcalf's that I would take over his is his speed. And there's literally no other reason I would draft Metcalf, you know, before him. I think, thing is, you know, Metcalf, you know, who knows, maybe he could be a Julio Jones, Calvin Johnson. It's just hard to see with Arcega-Whiteside. I see just very, very limited potential of him being a bust because he does so many things so well now at a high level. They're going to translate to the NFL. And I think my prediction is that he's going to be maybe the biggest receiver steal of this draft. And I think, you know, if he goes somewhere in, you know, middle, late second, or maybe even third round, if that's possible, I think some teams will be kicking themselves.
Hey, I mentioned my Cowboys earlier in the process. You know, we look at, I mean, Dak Prescott, you know, and Dez Bryant that first year had a very, very, they built a solid chemistry. Unfortunately, you know, Dez was just very limited in the routes he could offer you. But I mean, like I said, they lost a lot in the red zone when they lost Dez and Jason Witten. Now I know Witten's coming back, but you know, and I kind of understand why the Cowboys have kind of, I know they're probably backing off the idea of taking a wide receiver early simply because we do have some unknowns on our depth chart with Cedric Wilson last year, a guy they really liked coming into camp that ended up getting his shoulder cleaned up with a surgery and went on IR. Another guy in Noah Brown, who's, you know, entered the league very raw, has carved out a niche with Dallas as a blocker and a bit of a possession guy, and the Cowboys still think his best football is ahead of him. You know, those are two guys that have got some similar characteristics to Arcega Whiteside. I could see why they wouldn't, you know, necessarily consider it, but if it were me personally and we were sitting there at 58 and he was on the board, it'd have to be a darn good prospect at another position, you know, to really make me not second guess the Arcega Whiteside thing. I agree with you 100%. We've talked about players that the ceiling is this high, but the floor is so low. You know, this is a guy, the ceiling may not be as high as everybody else's, but that floorboard's nice and high. You know, you're not taking much risk by drafting him.
Yeah, and I think if you're one of those offenses where it's, hey, we got a lot of good stuff going right now, but maybe it's around pick 20 or something like that, and like, you know what, we got a good offense, but we're really missing a red zone threat. I'd make the pick right there, because I think you know, if you have a high powered offense, but maybe, you know, you don't have that big bodied guy who can box someone out, you know, to really top it off. I think, you know, that's he's a guy that can add instant value to a team. So that is going to wrap up everything we have for today. Austin, I don't know if you had one last thing on your mind.
I could talk about it for days if you sit here and let me.
Very good. Well, hey, this is Steve the Scout and Austin Smith with the Pro Football Scouting Show. This is also part of Pigskin.radio. And if I can stop coughing, I'll finish up. But yeah, for more information, you can follow us at pigskinnut.com, pigskinnut at any of our social media handles. And of course, you know, PSN Radio is available on our website and also at the Google Play Store. Just type in Pigskinnut Radio when you search, and then soon we'll be in the Apple Store as well. The next show, we did an Ole Miss wide receiver not too long ago with DK Metcalf, who's, we mentioned, one of the more polarizing prospects, probably one of the most polarizing prospects of this year's draft. And on the next episode, we're going to do it on a very different receiver, his teammate, wide receiver, who wears number one, AJ Brown.